Meaning there are things that are a bit perplexing, but you can reveal them under special conditions. What kind of things we can't say. But that's how the Torah is written. Not that we can find out by investigating the text itself, rather we have to change the forces that are working here, to change ourselves. So we would see in this text, in those things, the secrets of them, what's concealed in them. Meaning everything depends on the person and not on what's written and printed, as external researchers think. That this is how they approach all the problems when they wish to investigate the text. They think that there's a matter of external things here. We say that it's only internal things. That person who is reading, he has to change. He has to raise the level of his sensitivity inside of him, his qualities, to such a point that he will see the text in such a way that his contact, connection with what's written, will open up inside a person new horizons. And that's how he begins to discover the secrets of Torah. And those that we see in the text that Atik Yamin covered, it's really the Rosh of the world of Atzilut. That clothing, that cover, is working there as well already. Although we don't really consider it Atik, because creation is divided into the will to receive and the light that's above it, meaning Kachabzon, the degrees, five Partsufim of Ak, and Na'an Chai. So there's no concealment there, there's only a division in Ak into Aviyut, coarseness, the screen, and the light that appears according to the connection between the screen and the light. Whereas from the worlds of Abiya that start from Atik Yomin, there we begin to have concealment. And that's why it says that Atik Yomin is clothing it, is covering it. So our work is to work against that concealment.
This is because by disclosing these lights to many, particular to the many, depends on coming of the Messiah.
This is an excerpt worth remembering. In item 30 in Introduction to Tests, if people come and say, hey, you're working on the secrets of Torah, you can't talk about it, then you can show them what Baal Sulam is writing here. This is the thing that is worth knowing, that we have no business with the concealed, but only with the ta'amim of the Torah, which is actually a great mitzvah, great commandment to reveal, to disclose. By that we correct ourselves, we correct the world, and we do everything for the revelation of the Creator in order to give Him contentment. And this is the work of Israel, the work of a person who wishes to reach Yashar Kel. In those books, there are no secrets of the Torah. What is the secret here? There are only recommendations, advices. What should the person do in order to come closer to resembling the Creator? This is the purpose of man, to resemble the Creator. Return, O people of Israel, until the Lord your God. That's what we're doing. And the secrets of Torah, you can't even express them in a book, because You can articulate them because no one can understand them, can reveal them. Rather, only those who went through and interpreted, attained the Tamim of the Torah and can resemble the Creator, then the second half is revealed in them, which are the thoughts of the Creator, His true actions. There, behind all of our work, where we can resemble the Creator, we attain the Rosh, seemingly, of that Pratsuf. The adaptation of the Creator to us. This is the secrets of Torah, the intentions of creation from the Creator. For us, our intention is in the action. But the actions is like for a little child looking at the grown-up. So let's say the grown-up is working with a hammer and a nail, so the little child is taking something and seemingly also imitating the action. So from that, from your actions, we shall know you. By trying to perform the same actions in order to bestow, although we're doing these actions in our will to receive. But from that, we come to a state
that
we begin to attain from these actions the Rosh, the thoughts of the Creator. This is now it's correct.
About the flavors of the Torah, all the holy books that we study, it's only Tamei Torah, flavors of the Torah?
Only. The secrets of Torah are the intentions of the Creator towards the created beings. You have a partsuf. In the partsuf you have guf, Rosh and Guf. We belong to the Guf. What expands from the Rosh to the Guf are the lights of Te'amim, right? Tanta. So we belong to Tanta. What we receive from the Creator is Te'amim. That's what's called Te'amei Torah. The taste of Torah, His commands, His desires, how He directs us. It all cascades down from Him to us. That's what's called Te'amim. It comes already prepared. Whereas when we perhaps do this work and come to special degrees, not to Zat, but to the Gah of the Parsuf, and even more than that, then we can be integrated to some extent in the Rosh of the Parsuf. There are the secrets of Torah, Sodot. There we can attain the intention of the Creator, His general program, His thoughts. There are degrees in that. I don't know. I'm not familiar with it. Rather, we will come to it. For now, for the time being, we don't need to yearn for it even, because it will just confuse us. We need to resemble the actions of the Creator. He bestows to us, we bestow to Him. By that, we are correcting our vessels until we correct all 613 desires in order to bestow. Bestow in order to bestow, then receive in order to bestow. Then, after that, we will come to
If everything we study about and attain in are the Tamim of the Torah, what does it mean to build a Rosh?
We build a Rosh only to resemble the Creator, to plan ourselves to resemble Him, but not that our Rosh is similar to His Rosh, because we're made of a different matter. I need my Rosh in order to know how, with my desires, my intentions, my actions, my connection with the others, I can build myself similar to the Creator in this attitude, love of others. I need to reach love of others just like the Creator also relates to them. And there, in the other creatures, created beings, I'm in adhesion with Him.
Where is the Rosh that we build on the seven lower spheres?
It doesn't work like that. I work with all these qualities called Zat in order to resemble myself to the force of bestowal of the Creator. Although,
of Kedusha.
Meaning all of our actions, if they bring us to the right place, to the correct result, all those actions are considered correct. Although we are making mistakes, we fall, we don't understand, doesn't matter, it's like kids. We're owing to all their games, we think they break and their confusion. Doesn't matter, that's how they grow up. So the same with us. So at the beginning we are in the will to receive for itself. We have no other choice but to work for our own selves. We have no way of working except for our own benefit. But when we perform these actions that are seemingly towards bestowal and love, all seemingly, and the inner intention is, of course, for ourselves, but it's because there is no choice, and gradually we advance thanks to them, thanks to the reforming light that shines to us in those actions, and we advance towards Lishma, meaning the actions will truly be in order to bestow. How does it happen? The reforming light. Our intentions are always in order to receive. We cannot rise higher than them. But if we perform the actions that Kabbalists are telling us to do, we do it meticulously as much as possible, then we invoke the reforming light, because there's a connection between the action, not with the intention. The intention is egoistic, but between the action and the light. What's the connection between the action and the light? Because we do it through the upper Parzuf. Let's say Rabash, who writes to us to do it. Hence, when we connect to the upper Parzuf, based on Rabash's recommendations, this means that we're working in Lolishma, the incorrect intention. It's a wonder. It's not studying because the Creator ordered him to study. It's not a good intention. It's not the right intention. It's a nice question for a workshop. Later.
Since his eyes are flawed and turn the light into darkness like a bat, such engagement is no longer considered a maid of Kedusha, since he will not acquire a Lishma through it. Hence, it comes to the domain of the handmaid of Klipa, which inherits these Torah and work and robes them for herself.
Why? Look, however, if one's faith is incomplete, God forbid, and he engages in the Torah and in the work only because the Creator commanded him to study, isn't that enough? The Creator created a man and created a man, and he told him, engage in the Torah, study. And he studies. this is considered a bad engagement. So we see that from such work, the light of the Torah will not be revealed at all, since his eyes are flawed and turn the light into darkness, like a bat. Such engagement is no longer considered a maid of Kedusha. Meaning he will never reach in this way the opening of the eyes, the purpose of creation. Why? What is the matter about this work in Torah? Because that he studies, because the Creator commanded him, and he keeps the commandment of the Creator with his heart and soul directly, purely. Why is that becoming a... Imagine things.
First of all, the wisdom of Kabbalah. Because we're talking about the actions of the Creator, where we have to become like Him. Our goal is to reach adhesion. Dvikut. By becoming compatible to Him. As you're merciful, so are we. Where do we learn about the actions of the Creator from? The wisdom of Kabbalah. It says that the will to receive has to position itself under the Tzimtzum, Masach, and Or Chozer, and this way to bestow outwards instead of receiving inwards, instead of bestowing to its own Malchut, to bestow to the external will to receive. That's it. And this is what the wisdom of Kabbalah talks about. And this is what a person has to try and do. Therefore, the more we study about the actions of the Creator in regard to the souls, the more we can become like Him, either in the actions of the soul in regard to the souls, and from love of the created beings to love of the Creator.
No.
He speaks of not in order to receive a reward, and elsewhere he writes that women and children, we teach them this thing about not receiving a reward. Is this for every person who studies the wisdom of Kabbalah?
I don't know. In the meantime, I'm studying what's written here. I don't want to talk about anything else, but about what's written here.
A person comes to study the wisdom of Kabbalah. What does it mean that it's not in order to receive a reward?
We'll learn about it, and we'll see. Yes, Gershon. Show me where it is written what you're asking about.
For several letters, he's describing this matter of not in order to receive a reward.
That you receive no reward. It means that I study only in order to give the Creator contentment by doing so. And imagine this as much as you can, that this is the only reason for which you get up, come, study, do whatever you do, that you have no other goal.
This thing about making contentment to the Creator, something you have to scrutinize constantly?
Yeah, and if you can't, you have to ask for the strength to be able to do it, thoughts, desires. Please, but this is what will bring you to the equivalence of form, just like the Creator does everything out of love to you, even though that you don't feel it because you're an egoist, like you're like a little child that doesn't think that he's being treated with love. He only thinks about how can he use his parents. So you should think about this differently, not like a little child.
I'm continuing. If I do all the actions, but without this scrutiny, am I giving contentment to the Creator? This is the state of lo lishma that doesn't bring me to lishma?
If so, what are you doing it for?
No, there are many actions that I do out of feeling.
If it's according to what you feel, then that's how it is.
I'm asking about what's written here on the first. God forbid this engagement of Lolishma is not worthy to bring him to Lishma, meaning there's a study of Lolishma that will not bring him to Lishma.
It won't? When?
If he doesn't think about giving contentment to the Creator.
True, because it's all according to the intention, not according to the action.
But Lolishma doesn't have a good intention.
So be it. A kavanah of lolishma. That's preparation. But not that you perform actions with the opposite intention or without an intention at all. Then you do not advance. Maybe to the contrary, you move further away. All of our work.
Up until the week of the congresses, we want to attack the lesson, extract the most from the lesson. How should we arrange ourselves before we start to study? We sat down, we spoke about it a lot in Shabbat, Friday, lately, the beginning of the lesson, the preparation. How should we arrange ourselves before we study? If you can maybe give us the highlights.
He writes about it in several places. The preparation for the lesson, in a word, need. That's it. What do I need it for? Why? What am I sitting with these people for? Why am I studying these materials? Why did I get up at 2 a.m.? And so on and so forth. Why? The need. I have to sharpen my intentions. What will it give me? What do I have as a result? This way, I advance. That's all I have. And it's something that you have to prepare in advance. From the previous day, that I accumulate all of my studying from the day before to have a greater deficiency the day after. And day in, day out, you have to demand to have a few more new excerpts in regard to the need to study the greatness of the preparation of society, of the goal, the greatness of the hardships. Yeah. Hardships that are on the way, on the path, that we love them, we kiss them. Accordingly, we can see whether we grew. Look how hard things are today. Yesterday I got up, I was all, vital. I was a hero yesterday morning. Yesterday evening, I was at home. I rested. I went to sleep even an hour earlier than I used to. And I barely got up this night. I barely dragged myself here. Is it better or worse? Maybe to the contrary. Maybe because yesterday I invested a lot and what we're studying, I couldn't get up this morning. Not because I grew tired, but because now I was given the work of heart that I deserve now, that I have to see the reward. I was shown my greater chisaron, that when I overcome it, I'll ascend even more. And this is how we have to try and see these things. Also, you have to try and see it on your friends. How many of them yesterday were burning with wide open eyes, and today, barely, they as if hear what we're talking about. This is what they act out. That's how it is. The main thing is not to run away, not to fall off the wagon. Like it says, everything but leave. This is what it says in the Torah. Do everything you want within the framework of society, of studying, of everything. Talks about internal things, not only about
Rav, about lesson preparation. We talked about it before, and we're now looking for the way in which to prepare, get organized for lesson preparation.
Listen. For tomorrow, excerpts for the preparation for the lesson. Strong, sharp, clear, not long, practical. Practically what we need, not just paka-paka, philosophizing. What we actually have to do in order to prepare ourselves for the lesson right now, concretely, this is what we need to know. Not many excerpts, but to the point. We'll get them tomorrow. We'll learn it tomorrow. In the morning lesson.
So the question is, you said that everyone should sharpen the deficiency of what did I came for, what will it give me that's better to do in preparation, that everyone does it by himself, quietly, silently, or we discuss it in the tent together, what's better?
No. We should discuss it together. It's better to discuss together. Why not? Anything that has to do with everyone and not with personal attainment of a person can and should be discussed together. Especially that it's our preparation for the lesson. If our preparation for the lesson includes everyone, if we know that we're already, that we came with with the same intention, and then the intentions connect, and with such actions that the actions connect, if our hope and our purpose is to be directed toward the same place, the same state, then of course it will have more of an impact. So it's highly desirable to talk about it. Tomorrow we will...
Today we have the Yeshivat Taverim, worldly Yeshivat Taverim, about the Congress in Israel. And so I want to ask, after the African Congress, we felt that we are completely now. So what is your expectation, Rav, now from us, for our preparation towards the big Congress in Israel?
We need to understand that with respect to the wisdom of Kabbalah, we are dyslectic. How to put it in Hebrew so that people understand it? Dyslectic. Right. I don't know what it means. I have a lack of emotion. I have a lack of cerebral understanding of it. I don't even know what I lack. There are people in our world who have this feeling that have this connection to spirituality, and I don't even know what it is and what I lack and how to feel it. And that's how it is. Each one of us lacks something because we are parts of the general vessel, the general kli of Adam Rishon. So we can say that always in anyone, someone has a certain dyslexia, a certain lack of a grasp on something, right? For example, me with art, right? paintings and so on. Someone with respect to music, another one with something else. But with respect to spirituality, we're all like that. And we need to develop qualities which we do not have. They're not in us. Did you ever see dyslexic children? They don't even understand what they lack. And if they're taught all sorts of things, then they try, they make an effort, and somehow they can compensate to an extent. But they know that they lack something here, lack something there. So we need to relate to ourselves in that manner. And only through our connection do we gain the cure, the reforming light. And then we shall be